we're not going to feel that we're really doing something. It'll come like automatically, like today. You know, a person does the regular things, the regular daily things. He doesn't feel anything. But when he does something that's difficult, he strains himself, it puts himself out, and he really, whether it's learning, davening, whatever you do, what's hard, or even gosh, if you think that's hard, you get a certain satisfaction, which is not available by the easy thing. That's the way the Eibishter made it. The Eibishter made the world balance. That whatever you put in more effort, you get. So when Moshiach will come, things will be easy. We'll be missing that before, like the Tanakh said, what should I do that I want? Everybody will want. What will be the avoidance? Chassidus has a hard time explaining what will be the avoidance when Moshiach comes. It sure is a sure thing that has to be avoided. I mean, avoidance Hashem, serving Hashem is what the world is all about. From now and forever. What are we going to be avoided? What's there to do? Everything goes by itself. It's so easy. What kind of avoidance is this? But certainly now, there's no such a question. What kind of avoidance? Boy, is it avoidance. It's avoidance perek. It's like the people worked in Mitzrayim. It's back-breaking labor. Takya, for a fellow to sit on the same chair. Doesn't matter whether it's blue, or it's red, or it's gray, doesn't matter. As long as it doesn't change chair. The same chair, the same place. For 2 hours straight. Without moving. I mean, without moving away from the chair. I mean, you can show with us. But without moving away from the chair. Sitting and learning in the same place without interrupting. You know what that is? It's like building a nuclear reactor. I mean, 2 hours? I'm not sure. There are very few people are capable of doing it around us. Or around any other place. I mean, within local confines. It's not easy. And it's certainly more. And certainly bigger things. What's bigger things than that? The bigger things than that. He's not sitting and learning 2 hours. There's something bigger. Is that from here to lunch, and from lunch to wherever you go, your head is filled with the machshavas and what you learn, and you don't let anything else in. That's bigger. That's even bigger than sitting the 2 hours. And there are people who have it, Baruch Hashem. It doesn't come without work. But there is a great gishmak in it. There's a tremendous amount of, it's not the word pleasure, you can't even call it pleasure. There's something there that's synonymous with life. You feel the essence of life. But it all calls for work. So Baruch Hashem, a dank neighbor, that we know what's needed. We're in a place where we can do it. We have the conditions to do it. We have the courage to do it. All we have to do now is apply the willpower to really get it done. And it's not easy because it's day in and day out, like I said before. Somebody just has to learn 24 hours straight and then forget about it for next week. There'll be more candidates. But day in and day out, the same place, the same chair, the same table, and almost the same book, and almost the same page. But some people stay on one page all week. I mean, you know, how much can you do? You could. Because this page is as deep as the ocean. This page is as wide as the entire continent. This one page that you're sending us. And therefore, we have to be willing to do it. If we're really willing to do it, and we ask the Eibishter, that's a test, you see. The Eibishter, you can't ask to pretend. He knows exactly what's inside. So if you ask the Eibishter, you have to meet. You can pretend for a friend, you can pretend for a rabbi, for your parents. Not sure whether you can pretend for the rabbi, probably not. But for the Eibishter, you definitely cannot pretend. So if you ask the Eibishter, this is what you really want, then it means you really want it. And if you really want it, it's a sure thing that Eibishter will help. Why? Because he also wants it. Why shouldn't he help? For who are you doing it for if not for him? But you have to ask with them. I don't know if any of you need to make a bracha kreina, but if you still want to make, there's plenty of cake here to make a bracha kreina. Gabriel, think of a good name, Gabriel. Could be from Argentina, from wherever you want.
First time on that, all of you. To explain on page 124 why we say this Mizmor, this psalm, Erev Shabbos, Hodeh L'Hashem Ki Tov Ki Lo Yom Hazeh. said that Erev Shabbos we come to thank God for having escaped from the hardships of the week. And the hardships of the week are divided in four categories. And these are the four categories that need to thank God specially in a special formal way, which we call the Brocha HaGomer. We saw the Brocha of HaGomel in the place which is near the, in the Siddur, which is near the reading of the Torah, because you make it by the Torah. And this includes four types of survivors, this Brocha. The Brocha says that God paid or repaid good things to those who were guilty. He didn't deserve it, but God gave them good things anyway. So the four types of survivors that have to make this brocha: those who survive the ocean, those who survive the desert, those who survive prison, and those who survive sickness. So these four types of survivors are mentioned in this mizmor, in this psalm, in this chapter, Hodel Hashem Kito, chapter 107, and they are described here in detail. And we started last time, we identified a few of them. The first one, we identified as the people who go through the desert. And we found them in the second line of the chapter. Hold it. Second line, at the end of the second line. You can see it says Tov ba'midbar. They got lost in the midbar, in the desert. People lost their way. Bishimon Dorek, in a desolate road. Ir Moshe of Lomoto, they didn't find a separate city. So this begins the description of the people that go through the desert and what kind of conditions, trying conditions, troubles they go through. For example, it is mentioned that they are hungry, they are thirsty in the desert, naturally, in the desert. And their life almost escapes them. That is, they almost lose their soul. But then they cry out to God. You see it here at the end of the third line, by Yitzhak or Hashem, Batar Lahem, in their troubles, and God listens to them and takes them out of their troubles. So when we come Erev Shabbos, like tomorrow, to Shul Tadam, we have to put ourselves in that position, that during the week, a person could get lost in something that is similar to a midbar. It doesn't mean that he actually has to be in a physical death, but the conditions that he was in could resemble that of a desert. And therefore, he owes it to Hashem, to God, to give thanks. Of course, we already explained, which should be obvious, that even if a person sat home a whole week, he still says that Erev Shabbos. Not only because we cannot make special prayers for each person, depending upon his experience of the week, but also because, plainly, the weekday experiences, whatever they are, compared to Shabbos, is like being in trouble and being out of trouble. Whatever they are. Because Shabbos is such a great time that anything before it seems to be a time of suffering compared to Shabbos. So Shabbos is the great. So this is one. Bamidbar. Right? Then we learned about the second one. The second category. Which was the second category? You remember? Which was the second category? Which words refer to prison?
Darkness.
Yeah, right. That's in the line that begins with the word re'eva, or actually the sixth line. I'm talking about the Hebrew, the sixth line of the chapter, of the mizmor. It begins in the fourth word in this line. Yoshe
Choshech v'chamoves. The people who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Asire yoni uvarzo. They are bound up by poverty and by iron chains. And he says the reason they are in that trouble is not incidental. It was because of their own fault. Ki himru imrei came. They rebelled against the word of God. Va'atas elyon na'otu. And they rejected the advice or the guidance from above. So why did God make it so they should be imprisoned, the shadow of death? Va'yatna ba'elmo libo. Because he wanted to subdue their heart in through hardship. Koshlu ve'inotu. So they stumbled. And there was nobody to help, so they felt very helpless. In other words, those people that rebelled against God, so what does God do to them sometimes? He makes them very submissive through putting troubles on them, stumbling blocks, and they see that there's no help from anywhere. So what do? They yell out to God. When they feel they really have no choice, so they yell out to God. Vayizaku el Hashem batarlehem. They yelled out to God, cried out to God, when it was painful for them, means to say of Yeshim, and God does help them out from their troubles. Continues Yotziem, he takes them out Mechoshim with our bones, from darkness, from the shadow of death, and their bonds he removed. And what did they do in turn? It's the next line, Yodu Lashem Chazdo, Nifloit of Levneot. They praise to God about his kindness, Chazdo. When he flows off, and about his wonders, give the other that he does for peace. Okay. The next line, which begins with the word Gidea, in that line, the second word, Abilim, this begins the third category. And this third category is the category of the people that were through sickness, or through some other kind of physical danger and suffering, their body, not necessarily through prison, not through going to the desert, but through other means, mainly through sickness. And he says about this, that the sickness could have gone so far, if you read at the end of this line, call ochel to sayiv nashem, any kind of food, they have food, but any kind of food, their soul or their person decides is repulsive to them. It rejects. They reject any kind of food because they are too sick to eat. In other words, if you want to describe how sick the person is, that even eating he doesn't want, which is the most instinctual thing to do is to eat when you are hungry. But some people get so sick that they don't even want to eat. And they came until the gate of death. This is describing a situation of sickness, of illness, extreme illness. And what did they do? Similar as we mentioned before. They cried out to God when it was painful for them. He helped them out from their troubles too. He sends his word and he heals them. Here you can see again, it's talking about sickness. Yir poim, refuah. He sent them a refuah. The malik, and he saved them, mishti sosa, from destruction. What did they do? Yodu l'ashem chazdo. Just like the previous one, the exact same one. Yodu l'ashem chazdo. They praise God for his kindness. When the flaot of limnei odom, for his wonders, for mankind. And not only that. The yir b'chu zivchei sosa. And they bring sacrifices of thanks, offering of thanks. You know, we say Midwar L'Soda. After Baruch Shomer, we have a little paragraph, Midwar L'Soda. A song of thanks, praise of thanks. That's what they do, but they actually bring sacrifices. So expensive. V'sapru Ma'at Avrinu. And they tell his stories with song. So here are already three categories. Category of those who go through the desert, those who were in prison, and those who were very ill, so ill that they were actually at the brink of death. All of these people have in common is that God helped them after they prayed to him and he saved them from their from their suffering. And in turn, they thank God, they recognize. What are the common denominators by these three? See, they recognize their sorrow, their suffering. In other words, it's not that somebody has to come and tell them, you know you were suffering, I want you to tell you were suffering. They know themselves. And it comes to a point when they feel that there is no other solution but to turn and pray to God. Obviously, this is not talking by people who are grown people, who are tzaddikim, who pray to God all the time anyway. They don't have to wait until really they are in big trouble to turn around and pray to God. Talk about very simple people who otherwise perhaps wouldn't think about turning and praying to Hashem. But when they get into real trouble, there is something in them that wakes up. As we know, this is human nature. In most cases, when a person is in dire danger, in extreme danger, whether it's in a battlefield or in other such places, that even if he's not a religious person, even if he's not educated, he yells out to God. Who told him to yell out to God? He knows in ordinary circumstances, if you tell him pray to God, he'll hush you. He doesn't think it has any value. He doesn't think it has to be done. God doesn't need my prayers. If he knows, if he wants to help me, he can help me without my prayers, because he knows if he's supposedly a God that knows everything, so he knows what I am into if he wants to help me. If not, I don't care, I don't know, I don't believe this. As soon as he gets in real trouble, he yells out, it comes from without, from by itself, like automatically, from within. And this shows, as our commentaries point out, and it's obvious, no need commentaries for it, that ultimately within, inside a person's neshama, the neshama feels God. And it doesn't matter how much a person is educated out of it, or how much a person has been far away from it. In practice, in daily life, it's somewhere in there. But sometimes it takes a real big pressure to bring it up. Just like when you have a tiny little bit of oil in an olive, you really have to press it hard for this oil to come out. Whereas if you have it filled up, you just give it a little touch and it comes out. So, of course, lucky for some people that they are filled with awareness of Hashem, and Hashem doesn't have to press them for it to come out. But some people need to be pressed very, very strongly, squeezed so hard, until something which is hidden deeply inside them comes out. But it does. Then, it's interesting to see that many of the Russians, who officially, of course, are an atheistic society, officially and in practice, in the schools, people are actually taught to laugh at believers, to laugh at people, at religion, to laugh at the whole idea. And yet, sometimes, when you see them when they are off guard, or you hear them, but they're talking about something that they are really excited about, something that touches them, these words escape from their mouth. Thank God, and God help me. And the person himself doesn't hear what he's saying. But it's just there. You can suppress it, but you can't erase it. So therefore, I mean, by the Jews, of course we see it more obvious. I mean, you have Jews who for 50, 60 years, from elderly people, didn't see the sight of a Jewish book or the sight of a Jewish letter, and were taught and taught everything against, not only Yiddish, but of course, with everything against plain faith, against plain religion, against just the existence of God. And yet, comes the time, they get woken up, all of a sudden, it's as if they were always there, as if they always knew, always believed, always turned to Hashem out. So there's this is what is being brought out here, that eventually, all these people turn to God, and they thank Him for the help that He gave. Now we come to the fourth category. Which is the fourth category? No? The sea. The people on the high sea. Very interesting. And I want you to be careful to watch the words here. It begins in the line, inside the line, it begins with the word v'yizbechu. Okay, that's in the Hebrew, the English, you'll find yourself if you need it. V'yizbechu. Everybody have that line? You don't have? The Yiz Bechu is beginning of one. It's sort of halfway down. Yiz Bechu is Zivchei Sodo. This part is we just learned, the offering of thanks and so on. This is the line. Now you go and say, to the two dots, and then begins Yor Dei Hayom. You see that? Yor Dei Hayom Bo'anil. Those who go into the ocean with boats. Osei melacha b'mayim rabim. Those who do work in high water. Mayim rabim. Not so clear what it means by doing work in high water. Does it mean scuba divers? Does it mean sailors? Does it mean, what does it mean, fishermen? But it means people who operate in the high seas. He says, Hema, these people, row maise Hashem. They saw Hashem's doing. When he put Oysam and his wonders, Bimtsulo, in the depths of the sea. Vayomer, and God said, in other words, merely by God's word, Vayamed Ruach Dor, and a big storm wind got up. But Romain Galos, they started picking up the waves. What would they say? To them, the people on the sea, they are aware of this. Could be very, very quiet. Everything is calm. All of a sudden, a storm rose up. And it's right there with them. And they see tremendous giant waves coming up. And like he's describing it here, in graphic detail, in the next couple of words. He said, Yahweh Shamayim, he had taken up to the sky. There was a boat up high through the waves. Yeh, the boat was there, they were thrown down in the pit. So up and down through this tremendous storm. Nafsham, their soul, Beroh, in this terrible feeling, Beroh, in this suffering, this mogul becomes melted. They can't catch their breath. They suddenly melt in this being thrown, tossed around up and down like a toothpick. Yochoygu v'yonu kashiko. They turn and they break up like a drunk person. Shiko is a drunk. They feel totally like a drunk. They can't locate themselves. They can't take hold of themselves. V'chol chokmosam tizbalo. And all their wisdom becomes swallowed up. They don't know what to do. They're totally at the mercy of the sea. This, of course, is true even by the modern vessels. The only thing is, the modern vessels, they, of course, have devices to warn them ahead of time that the storm is coming. So they avoid it. But if they're actually in the storm itself, they have no protection either. Because the storm picks up the biggest boat, like it were a matchbox. So this is the experience of the people on the high seas. And what do they do? They all throw them. They cry out to God in their trouble. And he takes them out. If they deserve it, some people don't, but hopefully those who live to tell us, they deserve it. Yah came to Ora Lidmama. He quietens down the storm wind and makes it silent. The mama means silent, becomes silent. By Yahshua Galaya. And all these waves calm down. By Yitlahuki Ishtok. And the people become happy when they see the silence of the waves. Because the waves, of course, roar. But now that the waves start keeping quiet, everybody gets happy. By Yalchem, and he leads them on the whole chepto, to their destination. Well, they were heading somewhere. So they wish to let them come to their destination. Yodu Lashem Chato, what do they do? Same turn. They praise God for his kindness. And it will also with me. And his wonders with mankind. And they exalt him in the multitudes of people. They tell his stories all over. And even in the place where great people of great wisdom are sitting, Kenim here doesn't mean old men, but it means people of wisdom, there they also praise. It's like they tell him, you are people of wisdom. You know about God from the book, but we just saw the hand of God. We were in the high seas. And this is something that you guys cannot imagine. You're sitting in Shiva. What do you know what's going on out there? But we saw it. And God saved us. Okay, so this is the fourth chasdo. Now, I want you to backtrack a little bit. Up to the beginning of this category where we started. Remember, this is in the line of the Yizbacho. Remember, that's where we started the Yizbacho. Go back to that line. In the middle of the line. Yordei Hayom Bo'Nio. Those who go into the sea Bo'Nio with boats. Osei Melocho, who work with Mayim Rabim in many waters, that is, in high waters. So these people, he says, Hey Moro, they saw Mati Hashem, the acts of God, and when he flows them in his wonders, we too go into death. Now there's a very beautiful haich, shat, or interpretation from the Baal Shem Tov on this one. It was said out loud here occasionally. It is mentioned in the previous Rebbe's memoir. He brings down this one. Even though the memoirs is not a place of interpretations, but do you think so? I think the first one who mentioned it here, that I heard anyway, was Rabbi Gordon, the brother of this Rabbi Gordon, who is here from Maplewood. And he came up with this mention with the story. He called it the Rebbe. And this is approximately what it said. Now, you have to look closely at the words. Your day hayom. Says like the saying is based on the fact that this world is like the sea. Huh? Life is a very stormy place. And people come down here, and not everybody comes down equally equipped. If somebody is to be delivered or brought down parachuted into the high seas, I mean, literally, we are. We come from the highest heavens into the earth, into this globe, which is like an ocean. There could be two ways where of him landing here. One is he should land on a boat. So he's stuck here. Still on the high seas, but he's okay. He's in a boat. Food and provision, company, everything. Other people just land in the water. So these two kinds of people, according to Hashem, are described here. Yordei Hayom Boni, there are those who come into this ocean, the ocean of life, Boni, or both. Some people that are lucky to be born in a good home, to be brought up properly, to be given all the nourishment of Torah, to be given a good environment. They are still in Olamaz, they are still on the high seas, but they are in a boat, they are protected. Ozi Melocha B'mayim Rabbi, but some are brought down in plain water. They land in this world, no protection, no nourishment. They are just fighting for their life, they are water. And if nobody helps them, they're going to drown. So therefore, what should be done? Heimoro Maisei Hashem. They saw the acts of God. And if Laosam and his wonders, beam Tula in the death. Well, so what's your prescription here? So according to Bar Shemtev says that what is meant here is that the people that are on the boat, they are the ones who have to pull all the others to safety. They have to throw them a rope or whatever. And get the other fellow to hold on to it, and then pull him over and get him on the boat. That's how he saved people on the high sea. So similar, there are two kinds of people. Those who land on the boat and those who land on the water. They, who is they? Both of them. Those who are in the boat and those who are on the plain water. Both of them saw the wonders of God. How do they see the wonders of God? They see the wonders of God when those who are in water are being saved and put on the boat and then start living a normal kind of life. The kind of life that should be lived in the high sea, which is on both. You don't live in the water. But they were thrown to the water, not their fault. So it's the purpose, the obligation of those who are in the boat to make sure to save the others. So this is in the time of the Baal Shem, which is plainly what was done at that time through him, through the Baal Shem and through his disciples, that they went at that time. The Jewish community, especially in that section of Europe, Eastern Europe, was in very bad shape, very bad condition. Economically, spiritually, it was terrible. The reason it was terrible, I mean, the goyim didn't live such a good life either, but the Jews, of course, had it much worse, as is usually the case. And the Baal Shem Tov went, and he tried to save many of these people. Many of these people already at that time started assimilating. Many of these people in despair gave up everything. And he saved them, he pulled them out from it. So he's the one who pointed this out into this puzzle. That in this life, some people are lucky to land in both, and some people land in the high seas. And they see the wonders of God, and they are living on them. Okay, so these are the four categories about which we speak out of Shabbat, in Yom Tashem tomorrow, we're going to say this. And somehow we have to find ourselves in one or two or three or even four of these categories. So the idea is that when a person comes out of Shabbat, so it comes to the shore, to safety, into warmth, into food, into nourishment, into good company, which is Shabbat. You have to look back. Now, don't forget your past. How was your week? And find those aspects of the week which deserve to be remembered and thank God about somehow. And a person could find himself in any of these categories, even though he wasn't in any of these places. He need not have been in the desert, he need not have been in the ocean, or in prison, or have his own things. But it's all on the inside. Sometimes the person can feel during the week that he's lost, he's tossing and turning. He can't find himself a place. And like on a seesaw, he's going up and down. And he can get his bearings. And he's desperate. That's like being on the high seas. And sometimes the person feels imprisoned by certain things. That he can't seem to get out of it. It's pulling him down. It's holding him. forcefully, like a person who is chained to something, and he wants to tear himself out and he can, and so on and so forth. So this is why this particular mizmor is recited at Erev Shabbos. Now the rest of the mizmor sort of summarizes this whole thing, that God not only took him out of their trouble, but it continues telling you how God brought them to a good place and how they settled again. It's like a story that happened with people. How they settled again, how they planted, and how they raised the cattle, and they raised you know, families, and they developed cities, and so on and so forth. In other words, they were totally revived, not just momentarily, but totally gotten out of their troubles into a real good kind of life. And that's why, at the end, the last pasuk, it says here, and that's what we're going to read now, Mi chacham v'yishmeru. Who is wise enough to guard, to remember, to watch all these things? In other words, to be aware of all of this. Well, why do you have to be a chacham? Because if you were actually on the high sea, you don't have to be such a big chacham, such a wise person to appreciate what happened. But if you were on the high sea, to really appreciate the greatness of Shabbos, and to really see the difference, how God helped you, and how a person feels differently after Hashem helped them, you have to be a chacham. Because many people are also helped, but they don't credit Hashem with it. They say, well, just got by, I got over it, I read a book, I heard a program, I talked to a site, whatever. He is born to have the Hashem. And they should, his bonus means meditate. They should meditate and think into Hashem's kindness. Because Hashem's kindness, even though it's all over, it takes meditating. It takes understanding. It takes looking into. It takes consideration. You can't just take it for granted. Of course, I'll see it, I'll notice it. No. Because we are, in many cases, born into a good condition, we don't notice it. Because in many cases, many people have it, we don't notice it's anything special. So what's the big deal? Like in plain language, if a person is in a healthy environment, he doesn't think a death about his health. Everybody knows. But he goes into a hospital, and he sees people just like him, and they can't move, God forbid, and they are laden with pipes all over the place, and so on and so forth, and say, thank God, I can walk around, I'm all right. Why didn't you say that when you were home? Well, the environment didn't tell me this. Everybody seems to be okay. They say everybody is the same. Nobody is. So therefore, David the King David says, Mi chacham yishmei, you have to be wise, and really watch these things and concentrate on it. Be it bonus or meditate and have the Hashem and that kindness. Right? That's all we have time for.